And God bless you. Thank you, Chris. I feel like I should also say thank you to Grace as well. Thank you to our choir, to our accompanists. God bless you. And certainly the answer to that question is yes, he is worthy. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to invite you to find Revelation chapter 22 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 10. I want to share a message with you this morning entitled Invitations to Come. Invitations to Come. Well, congratulations, you've made it. We've made it. Back in September of 2020, thinking about what would, for lack of a better way to say it, rally God's people coming out of a pandemic, or at least semi coming out of a pandemic. What might rally, excite, encourage the people of God to return to the house of God? And so last September, we began studying the book of Revelation, verse by verse and chapter by chapter. And for some of you, the past 9 months have been too long. And I understand that. And then there are others of you that 9 years would not be enough for you in studying the book of Revelation. But for everyone else in the middle, I hope and pray that this study has been fruitful and beneficial to your relationship with Christ. I hope that it has encouraged you in a couple of ways. Number one, I hope that it has encouraged you to be willing to read and study all of God's Word, even those books, even those passages that might be a little intimidating. I hope it's also encouraged you that with a little hard work and a little diligence, a little attention, some good resources like study Bibles or perhaps even one-volume commentaries, we can even make sense of some of the more difficult passages in God's Word. And then thirdly, I also hope and pray that for many of you, you have been encouraged that it's okay. It's okay this side of heaven to simply say, I'm not sure. I don't know exactly what this means. Because I've been very candid with you and very forthright with you in saying some of the symbolism in this book is beyond our understanding in this life. And that's okay. And to speculate, of course we could, but we could speculate until Jesus returns and still not know the certain answer. But it's okay for now to say, I'm not sure. But one day we will know. One day we will know in full what today we know in part. Again, invitations to come. Notice in that sermon title that the word invitation is in the plural. We're going to see multiple invitations this morning, because that is what the end of the book of Revelation is about. This morning we're going to see three. Three invitations to come. Notice that word. That word come you will find in some form six different times in today's text. Look in verse 12. Jesus said, "And behold, I am coming quickly." And then in verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come." And then in verse 20, "He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." This morning, we're going to see an invitation for Jesus to come. We're going to see an invitation for the lost to come to Jesus. And we're going to see an invitation for the saved to come to God's Word. If you have found Revelation chapter 22 and verse 10, I invite you to stand this morning in honor of God's Word. Follow along in your copy of the Scriptures or on the screens behind me, beginning in verse 10 of Revelation 22. "And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word that is the book of Revelation. Lord, in this last message in this sermon series, would you please speak loudly and clearly to the people of God today, to turn our hearts to you, and would you speak loudly and clearly today to those who do not have a saving relationship with Christ? And I pray, Father, that you would convict them of their lostness and draw them unto you. Father, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Notice our first invitation this morning. It is an invitation for Jesus to come again. An invitation for Jesus to come again. I direct your attention to verse 17, actually 16. Verse 16, if you're looking at a red letter edition of God's Word this morning, you'll note is in red. I, Jesus, have sent my angel. And in this particular instance, it seems as if that angel that he is referencing is the Apostle John. John the Revelator. Now, we have seen in the previous chapters in the book of Revelation, particularly chapters 2 and chapters 3, that John did this very thing that the Lord Jesus sent him to do. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. And so John, in chapters 2 and 3, testified to the things of the Lord for the churches. And you remember those seven letters written to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3. Those churches that are what we would consider today modern day Turkey. And so God's angel, John, testifying to the pastors of those churches, the things of the Lord Jesus. Specifically, as he continues in verse 16, that Jesus is both the Son of God and the Son of Man. That's what he says in verse 16 when he says, I am the root and the offspring of David. Well, how could Jesus be both the beginning of David as well as of the offspring of David? Well, because he's God, he can be the beginning. Because he's not only the Son of Man, he's the Son of God. So in his deity, in his divinity, he is the source of David. But he's not just the Son of God. Jesus is also the Son of Man. And that is how he is the offspring of David. So in this one person, Jesus Christ, he is fully God, he is fully man, he is the God-man. And that was the message that John was to tell to the churches. And he did. But he's not just the God-man, he is also the bright and morning star. He is a new beginning from Orthodox Judaism. You have the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, and Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, is a new beginning, a bright morning star to begin the day. And then in verse 17, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride of Christ, the church, says to Jesus, come. Come again. Now, Jesus tells us several times, even in this text, verse 12, I am coming quickly. And then he says it again in verse 20, surely I am coming quickly. But John records this invitation in verse 17, where the Spirit and the church come together and verbally, but brothers and sisters, I would also say with our lives, we are to extend an invitation to the Lord Jesus to come again. John has done that in his writings, as well as the Apostle Paul. Let me invite you to turn back to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Chapter 16 is the very last chapter in 1 Corinthians. But listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. And then notice those last three words. O Lord, what? Come. So Paul, in writing to the Corinthian church, says to Jesus, come. And brothers and sisters, I hope and pray that that is a prayer that we pray together, and that is the witness and evidence of our life, an invitation to the Lord to come again quickly. But there's a second invitation that I want you to see this morning. Not only in verse 17 is there an invitation for Jesus to come again, but there's also an invitation for the lost to come to Jesus. An invitation for the lost to come to Jesus. Look back in Revelation 22 and 17. And let him who hears say, come. So let him who hears the invitation say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Here in Revelation 22, John is describing salvation and particularly lostness as being thirsty. Not physically thirsty, but spiritually thirsty. And we have seen that previously. This invitation to come to the water of life. If you'll look at the very beginning of this chapter, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God. And then we also saw it in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. But that wasn't where we first saw this idea of the water of life. You can go back to the Gospel of John. John chapter 4. Turn there if you will. John chapter 4, and let's be reminded of where this idea of lostness being equated with thirst, where this idea equated, and it began, not equated, originated, and it began with the Lord Jesus. Follow along as I read there in John chapter 4 in verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Talking about the water in the well. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. If you're here this morning, and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, you know exactly what Jesus is talking about this morning in being spiritually thirsty. You're restless. You're not at peace. You're wandering. You are spiritually thirsty. And you have tried everything in the world to satisfy that thirst. You've tried money, but there's always more money to get. You've tried popularity and fame. And just as quickly as the world turns to you, the world will turn away from you. Maybe you've tried sex, and yet you are still empty. You are spiritually thirsty. Can I invite you this morning to come to the water of life? Be satisfied for eternity and drink no more of what the world has to offer. The water of life is Jesus Christ. And once you drink of Him, you will be satisfied forever. And so the invitation this morning, not only is for Jesus to come again, it is for the lost to come to Jesus and be saved. And I invite you this morning to come. But there's a third invitation. There's a third invitation in today's text. Not only is there an invitation for Jesus to come again, and an invitation for the lost to come to Jesus, but there is an invitation for the saved to come to God's Word. As I said previously, we are in full-blown vacation Bible school mode. And that is a sign that summer is here. And school is out, and swimming pools are getting cleaned and ready for the summer, and people have already made plans and secured hotel rooms and travel agents, etc., etc. And certainly there will be time this summer when we take a break from some things for the next few months. But I want to invite you over these summer months to come to God's Word. Come to the Word of God. You can take a break from some things during the summer, but please don't take a break from God's Word, brothers and sisters. Look at verse 10. The angel said to John, "Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book. But yet, brothers and sisters, when we are not reading, when we are not studying, when we are not memorizing, when we are not meditating, we are effectually putting a seal on God's Word." And so I'll say it again. And he said to me, "Do not seal the words of this prophecy." In other words, let it be known. Come to God's Word to know it. To know it by reading it and studying it and memorizing it and meditating on it. For the time is at hand. What time might that be? The time of Jesus' return. Come to God's Word to know it, because the time of Jesus' return is at hand. And because the time of Jesus' return is at hand, verse 11, when it comes that time, when Jesus has returned, those individuals who are unjust will remain unjust. The time for their repentance will have passed. and so they will remain unjust. And he who is filthy, spiritually filthy, will remain spiritually filthy. But on the other hand, those who are ready for Jesus' return, those who are inviting Jesus' return, those who are looking forward to Jesus' return, the righteous will continue to be righteous, and the holy will continue to be holy. And so come, brothers and sisters. Come to God's word and know it. But don't just come to God's word and know it. Come to God's word and obey it. Verse 12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and then listen to this, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his, what? His work. Come to God's word and obey it. Why? Not only because it is the best plan for your life, but because also your obedience in this life will result in rewards for the next life. Let me say that again. Your obedience in this life, that's what Jesus says here. And my reward is with me to give to everyone, every follower of Christ, according to his work. Even verse 14. Blessed are those who what? Who do the commandments. And so, brothers and sisters, come to God's word and know it. Come to God's word and obey it. Jesus is talking about here the judgment seat of Christ. Paul has spoken about it in a couple of his letters. First of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he sees built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he also speaks of this judgment seat of Christ, even using that terminology. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear where? Before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Brothers and sisters, we will receive rewards for our obedience in this life. So to have them and lay them at the feet of Jesus in the next life. And so the invitation is not just to come to God's word and know it, but to come to God's word and obey it. I am the Alpha and the Omega, verse 13. First letter of the Greek alphabet, the last letter of the Greek alphabet, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and everything in between. Blessed are those. Your translation may say, happy are those. The best plan for your life, the best plan for your marriage, brothers and sisters, is for you to obey God's word. The best plan for your parenting, mom and dad, is for you to obey God's word. The best plan for your finances, brothers and sisters, is to obey God's word. The best plan for your business is to obey God's word. The best plan for your job is to obey God's word. And the best way for your life personally is to obey God's word. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Those who are obedient are demonstrating their salvation. They're demonstrating their relationship with Christ. And yet there are those who won't be in heaven. There are those who won't be a part of heaven's holy city. Verse 15. But outside are dogs, not physical dogs, but spiritual dogs, those individuals who are separated from Christ, as well as sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. But not only is there an invitation to come to God's word and know it and come to God's word and obey it, but lastly, I want you to see this. Come to God's word, are you ready? And trust it. Trust its sufficiency. Look at verse 18. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Yes, that means the book of Revelation, but even more so, the book that is the Bible, God's word. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. You know why, brothers and sisters, you don't have to add to this book? Because it is fully sufficient. And you can trust it. But you know what? Not only do we not need to add, we don't need to take away. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. We don't have to take away because, again, it is fully sufficient. All we have to do is trust it. It's right what it says about your marriage. It's right what it says about your finances. It's right what it says about your job and your employer and your parenting. It's sufficient. It was divinely penned and it has been divinely preserved. And we can trust it. And so he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, I invite you to come to Jesus this morning. And if you are here this morning and you do know Christ as Savior and Lord, I want to invite you, especially for these summer months, to come to God's Word. We can take a break from some things, but don't take a break from God's Word. Don't take a break from reading and studying and memorizing and meditating. Come to God's Word and know it and obey it and trust it, brothers and sisters. In just a few moments after I finish praying, I'm going to invite you to stand where you will be. And I'm going to invite you as we're singing, if you would respond this morning publicly to God's word by putting your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time, I want to invite you to just step out of one of these aisles and make your way here to the front. And I'll be here at the front. Brother Ronnie will be here at the front. We would love to welcome you this morning. We would love to introduce you to the water of life, Jesus Christ. Our invitation will be for you. If you're here today and maybe you're a guest and God is leading you to formally unite with Emory Baptist Church, we'd love to welcome you this morning. I would invite you to meet me here at the front. Say, Brother Richard, God's leading me and my family to unite with you and this family. Welcome. We'd love to have you. And for my brothers and sisters in Christ, again, I invite you today to make a commitment this summer to come to God's Word and know it and obey it and trust it. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful for your word and the opportunity to study it. And Father, for the invitations that it has shown us this morning, we say to you, Lord Jesus, come again and come quickly. And Father in heaven, would you please draw individuals this morning who are spiritually thirsty and who are lost without Christ? Would you draw them unto you today and give to them the water of life, Jesus Christ, so they may not thirst any more? And Father in heaven, would you please renew the hearts of your children in the room this morning to come to your word and know it and obey it and trust it. Father in heaven, this invitation has been extended, and we trust you to have your will and your way in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet as Brother Chris comes to lead us this morning in a very familiar song, and Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front. I want to invite you today to respond publicly to God's word.